Good evening. I have some illustrations. I don't know if I will be using it, because so let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Four to six. So honestly speaking, the last 1 month, I thought a lot about money like never before. And God gave me a portion, as Pastor said, study the last chapters of the Gospels. So it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 onwards. It says, the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all obedience when your all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So I read it from King James, but I have NASB Bible. So this is Apostle Paul is talking about the warfare in the mind. And he is very clear about this warfare. And there are 5 points that we can, more than 5 points, definitely. There are 5 crucial points that we can take out of these verses, chapter 10, verses 4 to 6. The first one is the warfare that Apostle Paul is speaking is an offensive warfare. It is not a defensive one. How can you say that? Because casting down or pulling down and taking into captivity, these are the 3 mighty operations of an aggressive offensive army. Pulling down, casting down, taking into captivity. That is the first point. The second one is, Apostle Paul is speaking that the warfare is in the mind. It is in the realm of thoughts. The warfare is spiritual, it is not carnal, because the enemy is spiritual and he is invisible. And one of the strongholds of the enemy is that people can believe in a lie. We can believe in a lie. Jesus Christ summed him up in John chapter 8 verse 44, that he is the author of all lies, and he can make us believe in a lie. That is his strength. And the warfare is in the mind. The battlefield is in the faculty of thinkings, as it says in Proverbs 23 verse 7, as also it says in the verses that we read. Imaginations, the word imagination definitely has to do with thoughts. It has to do with the faculty of mind. The high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. One more time, you have thoughts in that scriptures. So in one sense, the stronghold of the enemy is in the minds of people. It is not anywhere else. Of course, it is in various realms, but in these scripture portions, the strongholds is set by the enemy in the minds of the believers, or it could be unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4:4. That is the second point. What is the argument of God? What is the solution of God? What is the suggestion of God? What is the prescription of God? What is the method of God? What God wants us to say in the scripture is, this kind of battle can only be won through an intensive hearing. Not just that, through the fullness of hearing. Correct? I quoted three words for warfare to be offensive. Quoted two phrases, warfare is in the mind. Now this is the third point. The solution, only solution of God for the body of Christ in Hebrews 10:25. Not one person is exceptional here. This warfare can only be won through an intensive hearing and fullness of hearing. What do I mean by intensive hearing? Taking every thought. Is it not intensive? How many thoughts? Every thought. What do I mean by fullness of hearing? When your obedience is fulfilled. By the way, the word obedience here is hearing God completely, without any excuse, being available before God with a prepared heart, having the mind of humility of Christ in Philippians 2:5. Obedience is fulfilled. That word fulfilled is there is a fullness of hearing, not letting any familiarity come into the presence of God in our communion with God as we hear God, as we worship God in our hearing. That is the third point. The fullness of hearing also means that we have to hear grace and truth. It's not truth alone, it's not grace alone. That is called the fullness of hearing. It is not a preferential hearing, it is not a partial hearing. It is not a hearing with a subjective mind, but it is the fullness of hearing that God is talking about. The word obedience here is to hear under unconditionally. The word obedience, disobedience is to hear alongside or to hear amiss. So we are hearing God as God speaks to us. The last point is the weapons here Apostle Paul or God is speaking is not carnal. They are spiritual. In Matthew chapter 26 verse 52, Jesus Christ said the same thing to Peter. Peter thought that the warfare in the Garden of Gethsemane is going to be carnal. So he kept his sword ready, and before that Jesus Christ said, take your swords. One guy said, two swords. Yeah, it is enough. And he takes the sword and he cuts the ear of the high priest servant, Malchus. And Jesus Christ is saying, the warfare is not carnal. The warfare is spiritual. Don't you know that it has to be this way? The scriptures has to be fulfilled. He is talking about the mind of God. He is talking about the scriptures. He is not talking about the sword and other weapons. The strongholds, what are the strongholds? Strongholds again here is not an offensive structure. It is a defensive structure. In Psalm chapter 9 verse 9. What is the difference between offensive and defensive structure? In the place of stronghold, they don't have the weapons and then they are kind of noticing the enemy and they are pulling it. No. Even in Israel today, there are many strongholds, or when the bomb comes, they will all go into the place. It is completely covered. So for us, God is stronghold and He is our refuge in the time of need and every present help. So this word stronghold is a defensive structure. It is not an offensive structure. Where you store your things, right? Where the enemy leaves his tares. Enemy is very good in two things. He can also take away the word of God. At the same time, he is very, very skilled in sowing the tares. And he sows the tares, and the stronghold could be fear in Hebrews 2:14 onwards. It could be pride, and it could be any kind of things. It could also be the love of the money, which is played a crucial role in Judas's life. So it could also, it is the root cause of all evil, 1 Timothy chapter 6. No, not the money, but the love of the money. You can even not, don't see literally coins, but it could also be reputation. The love for the reputation, the love for the wealth, the love for the praise that comes out of the wealth actually drew Eve in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3. Oh, I could be like God, maybe one step above. And that love for the reputation, that love for the praise that comes out of the wealth or whatever it is, honor that comes out of the wealth, is the root cause of all evil. It could be many things that we can have. Superstition could be one of the stronghold. I noted it down, but I think I didn't have it properly. So many strongholds that the Satan leaves, it could be years in our minds. And it could also be sown in like a tear when we are not taking every single thought into captivity by the obedience of Christ. So this is the stronghold. Indolence could be a stronghold. Indifference can be a stronghold. Familiarity can be a stronghold. There are many things that he can leave in our minds. And I was thinking about the word imaginations through the Bible. There are two strong verses that came to my mind. One is Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. And there it says, every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was continually evil. Think about it. The entire humanity except Noah and his family, their imaginations were continually evil. That is one. Okay, that speaks about imaginations. But how does the imagination turns into evil? The answer is in Romans chapter 1 verse 21. Beautiful point. Excellent one. How this vain imaginations comes. Number one, we know God in Romans 1:21, right? When we behave as if we don't know God, the imaginations can be loaded in. Number two, we know God and we can be thankful to God. When we fail to be thankful to God for what God has given, the imagination can become vain. We know God and we fail to give thanks to God. Number three is we don't glorify God in all our lives. Right? I'm not talking about an ideal man or a perfect believer. I'm talking about the sinner who is saved by the grace of God, receiving grace and getting up when he falls. When we leave these three places in Romans 1:21, they knew God, but they did not honor God. They knew God, they did not glory God. They knew God, but they never thanked God. Naked I came, naked I go, blessed be the name of the Lord. They became vain in their imagination. These are the walls of the fortresses. What do you mean by stronghold? What are the main walls for the stronghold? These are the imaginations that Apostle Paul is talking about. Let's talk about one of the stronghold, not literally the love for the money, but a crave for the appreciation or crave for the praise from the life of Judas and from the life of another king in the Old Testament. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Verse 15. We know that Judas betrayed Christ because of money, right? He betrayed Christ because of money. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 15, or verse 14, it says that then one of the 12 named Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest. He was able to go to the chief priest because in John chapter 11, towards the end, they spread the word around. The enemy sowed the tares. Who can come and betray Christ? John chapter 11. 12 is devotion of Christ, right? The chief priest and the enemy were looking for someone who can give the link, right? I really thought about Apostle John. He is a mind-blowing person. You know, when Peter denied Christ, you know how he got into the courtyard? It was through the disciple whom Jesus Christ loved. And two times it says in that verse, in the book of John, that he was the friend of, or he was in very close proximity, or he was known to the high priest. What do you think, Apostle John? You are known to the high priest, and you had the influence to bring another disciple. Did it not minister to you that they were looking for someone to destroy Jesus Christ in John chapter 11 verse 50 onwards? Somehow Apostle Paul knew to cast down his imaginations. Of course, it is done through the Holy Spirit of God. That time the Holy Spirit of God was not yet come, but he knew he loved Christ. And definitely it would have come to his mind, and he put that thought down, and he knew who God is, right? And if you notice Judas's life, this guy is really a very dangerous guy. Everybody said, "Is it I, Lord?" Right? You know, Judas, what he said, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He never called Jesus Christ Lord. Nobody can call Jesus Christ a Lord but through the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 8 speaks about it. Two times he says, is it I, Rabbi? Why don't you say, is it I, Lord? Because the money was in the pocket. You know, when he took the money, the last Passion Week, he had the money in his hand. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 15, Matthew is a tax collector, right? He is very precise in accounting things. He will not miss it. Mark chapter 14, verse 11, when Judas goes, it says that they agreed to pay the money. And the other account, Luke chapter 22, verse 4 and 5, they agreed to pay the money. But it is Matthew specifically say that they counted out the money. They gave him the money. So he took that money, he put it in his pocket. When Christ was washing the feet, the sound came. It is not like what Pastor Marty had, right? You remember that message? So he gave it away. The money sound came, right? When in John chapter 18, when Jesus Christ said, do whatever you have to do quickly, and he left. People thought that because of the money, he is going to buy some things for the feast. Can you imagine that the event that has happened in Matthew chapter 26, verse 15, happened approximately 4 or 5 days before. If you read John 12, verse 1, 6 days before, Jesus Christ meets Mary in Bethany. And here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 6, he is in Bethany. The devotion of Mary kind of kindled the desire of Judas, right? I remember once Pastor Brian was sitting here and he was talking about selling the land and giving the money. And that devotion to the church, that devotion really stirs up in a heart's person the desire for the money. And after that, we never saw him. So the devotion of Mary, they really kindled the desire of this. And it says in Luke chapter 22, Satan entered twice. I think Pastor Shala spoke about it. One, to take the money. That is, if you want to notice the verse, Luke 22, verse 3. When he went to collect the money, Satan entered him. The second time, in the upper room, John chapter 12, verse 27, Satan entered to betray Christ. So which means that he had this money 4 to 5 days. When Jesus Christ came to wash, this sound came. Right? And the disciples, why don't you throw away your imaginations and these things? You are calling him as Rabbi? Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, hail Rabbi. Won't you call Jesus Christ as the Lord? He was not able to. And I'll show you what God wants us to really think about money. That is in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. So with this, we will finish our message. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. I really thought that Judas doesn't have to give the money back to the chief priest. He could have thrown away and went to Christ. He didn't do that. In 2 Chronicles 25, here is a person who did everything right in the sight of God, but his heart was not with him. And one of the things that he was much concerned about is the money. And his name is Amaziah, and he is the king of the southern kingdom. In verse 2 Chronicles 25, let's read a couple of verses. In verse 1 onwards, Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. And it came about as soon as the kingdom was firmly in grasp, he killed all the servants who had slain the father's king. And then, however, he did not put their children to death. And it says that he obeyed the law of Moses. Because the law of Moses commanded, fathers shall not be put to death for sons, and nor sons shall be put to death for fathers, but each shall be put to death for his own sin. Moreover, this is the point. Moreover, Amaziah assembled Judah and appointed them according to their father's household under the commanders of 1,000 and commanders of 100s throughout the Judah and Benjamin. He took the census of those from 20 years old and upward and found them to be 3 lakh choice men able to go for war and handle spear and shield. And he is the king of southern kingdom. He had 3 lakh soldiers in a nutshell. He is going to go again for a war against Edom. So you might remember or understand, the king has 3 lakh soldiers. He has counted them and he is ready for the war. He is going to go against the war with Edom. And he somehow realizes that probably 1 lakh soldiers would help him. He goes to the northern kingdom, Israel, right? He hires 1 lakh soldiers. In verse 6, he hired also 1 lakh valiant warriors out of Israel for how much? 100 talents of silver. And he did that, right? Like Judas. Not exactly like Judas. There was an exchange. He gave the money. Or he took the money, whatever it is. In verse 7, the man of God came to him and saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, nor with any of the sons of Ephraim. Is it clear? Intensive hearing, fullness of hearing. Pastor Shala said, Jesus Christ never mentioned Judas' name, that he was giving him a chance till the last moment to throw away the money. And he never did that. And if you do go, in verse 8, be strong for the battle, and God will bring you down before the enemy, for God has power to help, also to bring down. That point, really, I have to take it down. God can pull down things. God can not only raise up. Then Amaziah said to man, what shall I do with this 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel? What shall I do with these 30 pieces of silver? Jesus, you are washing my feet. Jesus, you are saying many things. It is convicting me. What shall I do with this? What shall I do with this? The answer is very clear from God. And the man of God says, answer to the king Amaziah in verse 9, the Lord has much more, to give you than this 30 pieces. You can take it materially or you can take it spiritually in Ephesians 1:3. Oh, I have done this deal. What should I do? Flee from all forms of evil. Don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. Luke chapter 9. She was born in Sodom. She was not able to get hold of out of the affections that she had. What should I do with this? Not exactly money. What should I do with this fear? What should I do with the pride? What should I do with this indolence? What should I do with the indifference? What should I do with the familiarity? Pull down through an intensive hearing. Cast them down through the fullness of hearing. Revenge. It is only through the hearing. It is only through the Holy Spirit's application of the word of God we can deal with this warfare. He is playing with your mind. What shall I do with you? With this. Don't you know that God has blessed you with every single spiritual blessings in the heavenly places? Is that what your life is all about? Tomorrow, this message can be applicable to me. I'm talking to my own heart. And I was suffering with this. What shall I do with this? Pull down. What shall I do with this pride that comes against my hearing? Pull them down. Look at the scriptures. Scripture says very clearly, this is what my pattern is. Moses constructed the tabernacle according to what God has said, the glory of God filled. It's very clear. If we have any thoughts, as Apostle Paul says, if it is otherwise be, God will reveal it to you. Our God is very interested in our hearts. Our God is very interested in our minds. Our God is a jealous God. 2 Corinthians 11:1. With a godly jealousy. And I'm not saying that we are perfect people. We are imperfect people. We are the worst people. Any thoughts can come and lodge in our hearts. But if we are in this place, we are the safest people. As the angels found Abraham in the tent. But the angels did not find Lot in the tent. They found him in the city gate with a people that are worldly, and his heart was gone. And there was a readiness with Abraham the moment he said, he went to Sarah, come on, fastest to me. That's where the fast food came. Can you prove yourself at the age of 98? Am I right? At the age of 98. I don't know. What is the age of 98? Abraham's age is 89. At the age of 89, show me that you are as fast as, I don't know, whatever the age. I know Abraham's age is 99 because 100 years age, 75, 100, 103, right? So 100 years age, he was given a son. So he goes, behave yourself as if like you are 25 years old. Then you will get a son. Cook, what readiness he had to minister to the angels and God. What heart that he had. Abraham wavered not in his faith. Same is the case with Peter. Peter wavered not in his faith. We all can say in 2 Peter 1, the same faith that Peter had is also we have, through which we receive the imparted righteousness of God. Peter wavered not in his faith because Jesus Christ prayed that his faith would not fail. He never went back and said, Rabbi. He said, Lord. So that is what God is saying. Any kind of warfare, the battlefield is, oh, I have done this. What should I do? Do not turn. Go. That which is delivered unto destruction. Lot, his wife's wife, and to God. Go forward. That is what Apostle Paul says. Is it not? He says, I want to know him. I want to have the power of his resurrection life. I want to have the fellowship of with his suffering. Everything I want to have being conformed to the cross. And then later on he says, I also want to do all these things, forgetting what is lying behind. Oh, 100 talents of silver. Leave it. 1 crore. Leave it. 1 small wrong association. Get out of that place. Like Pastor Shibali says. God says, as he is having communion, get out of this place. And he is going out of the church, not preaching the message. That would be like really scary, right? God says to us. God speaks to us. And he is God who speaks to us. And he has not removed his teachers from us. Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. He has been in the business of talking. He is not bored. He is the word of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. And bless the remainder of the evening in Jesus' name. Amen.